What really is on my mind these days are the wonderful, wonderful liturgical feasts that we're in the middle of. So at the end of the Easter season, all right, we just had this glorious celebration of the resurrection of the Lord. We had 50 days reading about the Acts of the Apostles, which is also known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. We've had these magnificent testimonies of witness to Christ, the growth of the church, these spectacular miracles and all that. And you come to the end of it, and people say, well, is it over? I mean, are we just back to ordinary time? Can't we have a little bit extra? And in fact, I think in the church's wisdom liturgical calendar, the Easter season is immediately followed by three great feast days, three great liturgical feast days. The first one was last Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, in which we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, the Blessed Mother, the birth of the church, 3,000 people baptized that day, with a magnificent poem before the gospel known as a sequence. And there's only four times of the year that there is a poem before the gospel. The originals are in Latin. They've been translated in English. Usually the music accompanied to it in Gregorian chant is nothing short of sublime. So the first one is on Easter. It's called the Victima Paschali, the Paschal Victim. The second one is on Pentecost Sunday, called the Veni Sancti Spiritus. That's Latin for come Holy Spirit. And then on Corpus Christi in 2 weeks, on the 14th of June, we will have, I think, one of the most spectacular liturgical hymns ever composed. It was composed by St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century. It's called the Lauda Sion, L-A-U-D-A, Sion, S-I-O-N, Praise O Zion. And it adds so much to the liturgy. So last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. This Sunday is Trinity Sunday, in which we proclaim and we honor and we venerate the most sublime revelation God has made of himself to us. And that is, there is one God in three persons. Only Christians believe that. Muslims who are monotheists believe there is one God. Jews who are monotheists believe there's one God. But Catholics who are also monotheists, we all have a common father in Abraham in the Old Testament. Catholics, Christians believe not only is God one, but he's three persons. And we believe that because that's what Jesus revealed to us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And there are a number of creeds in the church. Most people are familiar with the Apostles' Creed, which you pray before the rosary. And it may, in fact, be the most ancient creed from the early 2nd century. Later is the creed known as the Nicene Creed, which we pray or proclaim on Sundays and feast days at Mass. It's based upon the Apostles' Creed, but it has more to it. Actually, the technical name of it is the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed. How's that for a mouthful? So the Council of Nicaea and the Council of Constantinople in the 4th century, in which came to a clear statement about the nature of God. But there's also another creed called the Athanasian Creed. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, Glenn, but it's named after St. Athanasius, who is the great father of the church, doctor of the church, defender of the doctrine about the Holy Trinity. And I think it was, yeah, I know who it was. It was John Henry Cardinal Newman, St. John Henry Cardinal Newman, right? Because he's been canonized. He was a convert to the Catholic faith at Oxford University in the 1800s. And he wrote, I think it was in his book called The Grammar of Assent. It's been years since I've read that. But that his, what he thought was the most powerful creed ever proclaimed by the church was the Athanasian Creed. And it's all about the nature of the Holy Trinity. There are three persons, but not three gods. The Son is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but there aren't three gods. And it goes through this, I'm going to say, in about 20 different paragraphs. It's very tightly stated, and I don't know if we've got it on our app. I bet we don't have it on our app because it's a little bit arcane for many people. I'll have to ask Damon to get on the app, but I'd encourage people, if they've got any interest, to follow it. So that's all about Trinity Sunday, Holy Trinity Sunday. And the readings will be about that. And it gives preachers a challenge on how do you preach to the people about a mystery. And I think a lot of people then begin to borrow from St. Patrick. Remember when St. Patrick evangelized in Ireland?
I was just going to ask you about that, if right? there was any truth to that.
The three-leaf clover?
The shamrock was a great way to explain that.
I think it's a great way, right? Because they're all the same nature. Each leaf looks the same. You say it's the same nature, but they're distinct. So where is that distinction in the Trinity of persons? We like to see it physically. We like to see it represented distinctly, individually. But actually, the distinction between the persons is one of relationship, right? So God is Father, Jesus Christ is Son, and the Holy Spirit is the spiration. So the relationship of God to the Son, God the Father to the Son, is fatherhood. The relationship of the Son to the Father is called filiation. That's not a common word in English. It comes from the Latin word filius, which means son, or you could just call it sonship. And then the relationship of the Holy Spirit to God the Father and God the Son is known as spiration, right? God breathes forth this. It gets a little bit technical, but the point is, if God has revealed himself to us as three persons, we need to have a relationship with each of those persons. So we can turn to Jesus for mercy. We can turn to God the Father for protection and power. We can turn to the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, because the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier of our souls. So if you're having a struggle, you don't know how to overcome it, just call upon the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come to your rescue. So that's this Sunday. And then the following Sunday is Corpus Christi Sunday, which is known as the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. Actually, the real day is the Thursday after Corpus Christi. That's Thursday after, Trinity Sunday. But almost in every country, it's transferred to the Sunday after. And then there's 8 days of adoring the Blessed Sacrament. Many churches will have a Corpus Christi procession, you know, with a canopy and the monstrance and the flowers and the bells and the songs and all that. And it's just a very, very rich time of year. And of course, it's all in the month of the Holy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which we will celebrate on the 19th of the month. And for me, also June always has a special relevance, because at the end of the month we have the Feast of Saint Jose Maria, June 26th, the Feast of the Founder of Opus Dei.
Well, if you were trying to limit your intake of cake, for example, for celebrating, it's a good thing this month isn't during Lent, right? It's good.